Final meditation is on reconciliation from Romans 5, 8 to 11. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare to die. But God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Reconciliation assumes estrangement. You can't be reconciled unless there's been a separation or an alienation. And Paul here in our text says that we were enemies. The alienation and enmity began when Adam ate the forbidden fruit way back in the garden, and we subsequently were born into that enmity. We were enemies with God, and we enter the world as enemies of God. And here we're told that we're reconciled by the death of Christ. Paul says that when we were enemies, we were reconciled by the death of Christ. Our sin was a huge, impassable barrier between us and God. But Christ removed it on the cross and forgave our sin. Expiation. He removed the sin. Reconciliation has to do with the removal of whatever stood between the two individuals or groups. This reconciliation with God was motivated by his own love for us. Plus, he does all the work to accomplish it. He moved to us while we were still uncaring, while we were still sinners. And he brings about reconciliation by bearing in his own body the penalty for our sin. Perhaps the classic text on reconciliation is from 2 Corinthians 5. Listen to what Paul says there. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We're therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You can again see how the work of Christ is essential and foundational to reconciliation. God was offended, and that offense must be appeased, as Kevin explained. Christ became sin in order to reconcile us to God, to bring us together. Christ's death was essential to our salvation, but so was his life. Now here Paul tells us that we're saved by his life. My first thoughts on that were to apply the idea of imputed righteousness, that Christ lived for us and that life is granted to us as our record before God. That certainly is true, but I don't believe that's what Paul is saying here. It seems to be making a reference to the resurrection of Christ and his living state now. Notice he says, for if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life now? His point is that if Christ died for us to reconcile us to God, when we were sinners and enemies, now that we're reconciled and are friends of God, will not the living Christ see to it that we are finally saved and brought securely home to him? It must mean something beyond what he has already said, because he says, how much more? So through the work of Christ, we're justified and reconciled, but Christ being alive now guarantees our safe passage through to eternal life. Jesus himself said that he will not lose any that the Father had given him. And they will all enjoy eternity together with him. Certainly they will. Well, how much do you enjoy reconciliation that was accomplished for you by Christ? Do you think of the greatness of those events that brought it to pass? Do you ponder what it means for you to be reconciled to God? Think of the weight of this passage. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. Somewhere in the variety of responses open to us, there should be a joyful response to God for reconciliation. It may come out in an exclamation like, "Hallelujah!" or a soft, ponderous, "Why me, Lord?" Or it may bring you to tears, or just a calm smile of a wonderful contentment knowing that you're one with God. Notice the text again. Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. As we ponder the great reconciliation that Christ achieved for us, praise and rejoicing is the most appropriate response. That is what considering this great salvation we have can do. It was all purchased for us by Christ. It's a statement of the love of God to us. We reap the benefits, as the Catechism says, to the full enjoying of God to all eternity. Our sins are expiated. The guilt is taken away. God is propitiated. He no longer has any wrath for us. We have been reconciled to him. All of this was accomplished for us by the loving, redemptive work of our Savior on the cross. One of my favorite hymn writers is Horatius Bonar, has written some magnificent hymns. One of my favorite hymns of my favorite hymn writer is "No, Not Despairingly." Listen to what he writes. We sing it from time to time. "No, not despairingly come I to you, to thee. No, not distrustingly bend I the knee. Sin hath gone over me, yet is this still my plea. Jesus has died. Ah, mine iniquity crimson hath been. Infinite, infinite sin upon sin. Sin of not loving thee. Sin of not trusting thee. Infinite sin. Lord, I confess to thee sadly my sin. All I am, tell I thee, all I have been. Purge thou my sin away. Wash thou my soul this day, Lord, make me clean. Faithful and just art thou, forgiving all. Loving and kind art thou when poor ones call. Lord, let the cleansing blood, blood of the Lamb of God, pass o'er my soul. Then all is peace and light, this soul within. Thus shall I walk with thee, the loved, unseen. Leaning on thee, my God, guided along the road. Nothing between." That's reconciliation. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for expiation. Thank you for propitiation. Thank you for reconciliation. And that in all of those, we can now come and approach your table and have fellowship with you in the sacrament. Bless it to us. We ask, Lord, that you would grant us the work of your Spirit as we partake, and that we would be feeding on Christ as we do so spiritually. So bless us and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.